Blog Talk Radio.
With Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. Wow, I think I like nodded out and suddenly woke up with the news on. I went, news, that's on at 5 o'clock. Oh my God, I'm on the radio. And I scrambled into my computer room, and here I am now. We're talking about Minneapolis, Minnesota today. We're going to talk about some of the places and the theater. I think that's what we're talking about first. Am I correct? You're on the air.
You are correct.
Okay. I went to a few of the, went to see some shows, but let's talk a bit general about how much theater is there in Minneapolis? Oh, let's introduce you first.
I'm sorry?
Let's first introduce you as to who you are and why you know so much about theater.
Well, my name is Scott Mayer, and I am the producer of the Ivy Awards, which is the Twin Cities Celebration of Professional Theater. The Ivy Awards is an annual event that's held every year in September where we celebrate the best, the brightest, the most imaginative theater in all of the Twin Cities.
Oh, great. Okay, so tell us about, like, let's start with, like, the major theaters there where I would see a, if you want to call it, a Broadway-type show.
Well, there are 76 theaters in the Twin Cities that are professional theaters, and those are the theaters that present a variety of genres of theater on a regular basis all over the Twin Cities metro area. In addition to those 76 professional theaters, there's also community theaters, educational theaters, but the 76 are the theaters that we consider professional. In addition to those theaters, we have Broadway touring companies that perform both in Minneapolis and St. Paul. So if you're talking about touring shows that come from out of town, most of those productions are shown at the Ordway Theater, which is in downtown St. Paul. And then there are three different theaters in downtown Minneapolis that play host to touring Broadway shows. And those are the State Theater, the Orpheum Theater, and the Pantages Theater. And pretty much any day of the year, if you want to go to see a touring Broadway show, you can do it. And all you need to do is just check out what's going on at the Ordway Theater in St. Paul or one of the theaters that I mentioned in Minneapolis, and you'll find a touring Broadway production. But in addition to the touring Broadway shows, we have some primary theaters in Minneapolis.
Oh, can I just first ask you a question?
Sure.
I just want to first ask you a question. Like what shows are presently going on in Minneapolis? What are they touring? Right now?
I actually would have to take a look at the calendar to see what shows are currently touring. I can't think of the touring Broadway shows right off the top of my head, although I know that Lion King is going to be starting I believe next week. So that's probably the next spring Broadway show that's coming, because Lion King actually got its start in Minneapolis before it was even on Broadway.
Really?
Yeah,
it's where they
really test marketed the show. And so they were making lots of changes as they went along, but it was playing in Minneapolis for several weeks. They fine-tuned it, and then they took it to Broadway.
Do you tend to get shows like that let you know, you know, coming up that, okay, you know that this is a, what we call a pre-Broadway show.
Yeah, occasionally we do. Certainly not on a regular basis, but occasionally we do. Lion King was probably the most famous example of that.
Right.
But every so often there'll be a show that stops here before it goes to Broadway. And the Guthrie Theater and Children's Theater in the Twin Cities oftentimes produce shows with an eye towards Broadway, with an interest in ultimately taking it to Broadway if it does here, if it does well here locally.
Okay. So now you say you were going to talk about some of the other theaters, the, like,
right.
I guess if you want to call the major ones, I guess.
Yeah,
if you want to
say that the Guthrie Theater here is internationally known as one of the finest regional theaters in the United States. And the Guthrie Theater has three different stages, and so there's a show going on at all times, and usually more than one show that's being produced at one time. Tonight, for example, is the opening of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, which is going to be done in a very innovative and new in a new way of looking at the show. And so the Guthrie Theater presents classics. A lot of times they're presenting Shakespearean works, but they also do shows by more contemporary playwrights, like Tennessee Williams and Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. But they also have a theater that does a lot of work from smaller theaters in the Twin Cities, giving them the opportunity to work within the confines of the Guthrie Theater. And so there's lots of really contemporary, innovative work as well as more classical work. And if anyone has not been to the Guthrie Theater, the building itself is phenomenal. It's just a few years old, is one of the architectural masterpieces of the Twin Cities, and it is an amazing structure. There's something called the Infinite Bridge, and you can go out on this bridge and have just a spectacular view of the Mississippi River and the entire downtown Minneapolis skyline. So even if you're not going to a production, just going to the Guthrie Theater alone to see the building would be worth it. The Children's Theater, as I mentioned, is also home to many different stages, and so you can see a show at the Children's Theater almost any day of the year as well. And they just finished The Wizard of Oz over the holiday season, and it was the highest grossing show that they've ever done. It was a very successful reinterpretation of The Wizard of Oz, and they do phenomenal work. Some other examples of theater in the Twin Cities that are that enjoy large audiences are the Chanhassen Dinner Theater, which is out in Chanhassen. They, too, have three different stages with theater going on a lot of times simultaneously. So if someone is going out to the Chanhassen Dinner Theaters this weekend, they would be able to catch Hairspray or Forever Plaid or enjoy an improv comedy show. And so there's always something going on there as well. And that theater experience is particularly adaptable for groups. A lot of big groups come in and enjoy theater in the southern suburbs in Chanhassen. Also, the Jungle Theater, which is in close to downtown Minneapolis, does a really great job of presenting classical theater in a kind of very cool, intimate theater setting. The Number Theater is one of the oldest theaters that really deals exclusively with African-American playwrights. They're close to downtown St. Paul. And also in St. Paul downtown is a theater called Park Square, which has been enjoying increasing theater attendance over the past few years and has emerged as really next to the Ordway Theater, the principal theater in downtown St. Paul.
Oh, okay. Now, I saw Rocky Horror Show.
Oh, you did?
Yes. I don't remember which theater.
See that within the past year?
Oh, yes. When I was there, I think I was there in, I believe, September, I think, is when I made my way to the Twin Cities.
Great. Then you saw the production that was produced by Cardinal Theatricals, and you saw it in a space called The Lab, I would guess.
Yes, yes, yes. That was it. Okay.
Did you enjoy it?
Yes, I did. My only critique was the guy that did it, the lead guy.
Uh-huh.
Rather annoying. I didn't really.
Well, sometimes
I would have liked a different person.
That might have even been intentional. Who knows? But it was, I guess,
I don't know whether he was somebody, I guess, everybody knew locally.
Uh-huh. That may have been a guy named Don Shelby, because what was really unique about that particular production was that it did star Don Shelby, who was a veteran, long, long time news anchor here in the Twin Cities.
Yes, he was.
He was the anchor for the WCCO news affiliate, CBS news affiliate here in this market, and it was quite a departure from his reputation to be walking around on stage in fishnets and high heels. And so
I think
a lot of people went just to see that more so than actually seeing him act. They just wanted to see what Don Shelby looked like in high heels.
Then I also saw The Reluctant Debutante. I don't remember what the – it wasn't in that same area. It was in a different area.
Yeah, that certainly, I certainly recall that that was a show that was produced here in the Twin Cities, but with 76 theaters, I cannot remember exactly.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to remember the shows. I saw those two. I think there was, I'm not sure, maybe there was one other. I got to think about this. Okay, but those are the two that I recall. I didn't get to all my... I didn't do all my blogging yet on Minneapolis. I'm up to that because I'm trying to catch up on all my my travels. So I didn't get up to Minneapolis.
Yeah.
So it's like there are things like in my head and that I kind of remember, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
But those are the two of the shows that I do remember seeing. Of course, what's going to go is like, oh, did I not like that third show that I forgot? Or just, you know what I'm saying? Oh, no. Or was that the one I liked the most and totally forgot? You know what I mean?
Right.
I know that there wasn't, what I got, there wasn't a, I have to say, if you want to say a major show, there wasn't one of a touring show, a touring Broadway show at the time that I went, which was, and that's usually what I like to see, because I always like to see how a touring group does, you know, does it make a difference because you don't know these names of these people as in terms of the act, you know, and most times I find, no, it doesn't, you know, you don't have to know who they are. The acting is just fine, you know, you wouldn't even... You know, making us, you know, think like, oh, okay, there any
left? You're exactly right. I mean, sometimes if you see a show without a starring name attached to it, it can actually enhance the production because you're not constantly reminded that this person is playing a character. And so sometimes not having a well-known person in a role allows you to kind of get into the show a lot more than if you're constantly, as I said, reminded that, oh, this is so-and-so playing this role, and there is an advantage to that.
Yeah. So and now, do you tend to have, in terms of the actors, are they mostly local actors that are performing? Or?
Yes. We are really fortunate here that we're blessed with a huge number of actors and actresses that make their living and have a career as people that within the theater community. And That's because we have these theaters that really do employ a lot of people and allows people to make a living in acting. And I think there has been some research that has been done that there's about 10,000 artists currently living in the Twin Cities that consider themselves artists, meaning that they that is their sole source of income, and that is not just actors and actresses, but it's anyone in the performing arts. So it's more comprehensive than just theater. But most of our actors and performances are local. Now, for example, I mentioned that Cat in the Hot Tin Roof is opening at the Guthrie Theater. And
right.
That's an example where almost all of the theater performers are local. However, one of the leads is being played by a woman who is currently primarily acting in New York as a Broadway performer. And so when a major theater like the Guthrie casts a show, they will typically cast locally, and they will also cast nationally. And so they'll do auditions in New York as well as here locally. And so sometimes, and most usually, it's a case where there may be a mix of both local and nationally based actors and actresses. And what's really fascinating is, you know, once a actor has performed a role here in Minneapolis, if they're local, it's fairly ordinary to see them performing that same role with another theater company in another city. And so if someone is performing the role of Brick in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof and they're from Minneapolis and they're performing at the Guthrie, lo and behold, in 4 months, you could be picking up the Pittsburgh Gazette and you'll see that they're doing the same role for another theater company of that same production in Pittsburgh or Denver or Seattle. And so a lot of the actors really do move around to different cities and either create new roles or perform the same role that they've done locally.
You know, what I find interesting is that it's like we've been, I guess, brainwashed, that it really makes a difference. Like, if you've done Broadway, then you're better.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily true.
No, not at all.
Yeah, because most of the time, when I go to the theater, and I review the theater a lot of times, I go to the theater, I never look at, there's a couple of things I don't look at. I just saw Porgy and Bess. I don't even look to see what the plot is about. I don't go to see a show. I don't think about trying to compare it to did I see it formerly? Did I see the movie? That kind of a thing. And as I watch a show, I'm watching it as a form of entertainment. Is it entertaining? Should you go to the show because it's entertaining? Are the people doing their jobs? Are they entertaining you? Are they singing on key? Are they acting? You know, it's that kind of a thing, as opposed to the names. Now, in terms of, like, the list of people, their bios, you know what I look for?
Because
I don't know everybody.
Yeah.
I look for...
Well, I think that really provides a more valuable criticism or evaluation of the show, because
mm-hmm.
you're seeing it as... more from the eyes of a typical theater goer. And
What I was going to say is, in terms of the bio, I don't necessarily look to see whether they've been on Broadway, how many times, and whether I look to see if anybody's been on All My Children. Will I recognize?
Mm-hmm.
That's the only recognition I have, because it's like I don't know all of these actors, you know, whether they have small roles. They have small roles if they have small roles. I'm not going to, you know, like, again, it's like, are they all doing their job? You know, so is the show on the whole, is it good? You know.
Correct.
regardless of their bio. That's what I look at. So, you say you have a. Do you also have aside from like when I say theater, is there like the more performing arts in terms of like opera, dance, and things like that, or are you just familiar with that as well?
Well, I think that the Twin Cities is known primarily for its theater, but that certainly doesn't preclude a ton of other performing arts that the Twin Cities is well known for as well. And, you know, the reality is that there's a lot of gray area when you're talking about the performing arts. You might go to a particular show and there might be an argument between you and your friends as to what you just saw. Was that a theater piece or was that a dance piece or was that an operatic piece? I mean, it can become very blurry. And so the Twin Cities is home to a lot of performing arts. In addition to theater, of course, there is the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra, which is on the St. Paul side of the river. And then over here we have the Minnesota Orchestra on the Minneapolis side of the river. Those are the two primary presenters of classical music, although there are many other musical organizations in the Twin Cities. And we are really becoming an emerging dance community because we just opened a few months ago a new dance venue called the Cole Center. And the Cole Center is located right in the middle of downtown Minneapolis and is going to be primarily a production house for dance. And there are many dance companies in the Twin Cities that perform everything from classical to ballet to contemporary, and the Cole Center is worth the trip as well. It's a beautiful facility. It originally was the Schubert Theater, and the Schubert Theater was literally placed on wheels and moved two blocks to its current home. It was, at the time, the heaviest building ever moved in the world, and it was a huge feat, but it is a beautiful building, both the exterior and the interior. The sight lines are terrific, and you can go there to enjoy a lot of different kinds of dance. And then, of course, there are companies that are, as I said, really hard to define in terms of whether they're a dance company, a theater company, or a music
right.
company, but they kind of perform a variety of all three of those performing arts.
So what I'm kind of getting is that there's no, when it comes to the theater, you're not separating St. Paul from Minneapolis when you're dealing with the awards and stuff like that. It's the whole Twin Cities area.
That is correct. We have a friendly rivalry here in the Twin Cities between Minneapolis
okay.
and St. Paul, where we'll good-naturedly compare the two cities, but when it comes to how we view the community, it's one community, and we really don't differentiate between St. Paul and Minneapolis. We go back and forth across the river, which separates the two cities constantly, and so we certainly wouldn't want to set up any fences around any of the
right.
Companies that are performing.
One of the other shows that I saw was on a boat in St. Paul. I mean, the boat wasn't moving. Escanaba in the Moonlight or something?
Oh, yes, yes. Escobar in the Moonlight, yes.
Yeah.
And that was on a riverboat, and my guess is that it was probably a production by the University of Minnesota, because the University of Minnesota has a showboat that they perform on during the school year from the beginning of September all the way through May. And so I would guess that was probably a University of
yeah.
Minnesota production.
Yeah, I remember that's now brings back they said that was that. Was interesting way of seeing theater. Of course, I thought this boat was going to be moving around and I'd get a tour of the river at the same time, but I went, oh, all right, it's just going to sit there.
Yeah. It's like
that's okay, you're right.
It's like those casinos they have in Iowa and Louisiana. They're a pretext for gambling, and you don't really go anywhere except
Yeah, I noticed that as I was because I also went to St. Louis and Alton a couple of months before that. So, so theater is doing well then, right?
Yep, theater is big business and it's doing very well here. Fortunately for the state and for theater, there was a cultural legacy amendment that was passed. I think it was now 2 years ago, and there is a percentage of taxes now that goes right back to the arts and the environment. And so the purpose of that is to ensure that not only our environment is protected, but also our cultural landscape. And so that has been really a big boon in keeping theater alive and well here in the Twin Cities.
Well, let me ask you a question, just to give a comparison in terms of price. What is a ticket to the top show go for?
I would say that you could spend probably for a touring Broadway show on a Saturday night, probably up to $70,
$75. Up to $75.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. As opposed to when a Broadway show here is, you could spend up to $250.
You're right. You're right.
It's amazing. It's not, and that's why I say in terms of quality, I mean, sometimes the show, a Broadway show can suck, and you've just paid all that kind of money.
Yes, you're right. I think that's why, frankly, the critics play such a big role in New York is because people don't want to spend $250 and then be really disappointed by what they've seen. You know, they want to get a sense of, gee, am I going to really be entertained if I spend all this money? Whereas, you know, I'm going to a play tonight and it is pay what you can night. And so I know that the evening is going to be affordable. And if I enjoy the play, fantastic. If I don't enjoy it, I'll consider it an educational experience. And I know I still, you know, have food on the table tomorrow.
Right. That's great. Well, I thank you very much for talking with us. I guess, is there a separate website that people can go to just about the theater or just the website?
If people go to www.ivyawards.com, and that's spelled I-V-E-Y, awards.com, you just click on calendar and you can see every show that's playing now and within the next few weeks in the Twin Cities area.
That's great. That's wonderful. Thank you so much for calling and for being patient while I get on the phone, too.
No problem. Thank you. And I hope you have a great weekend and come back soon and experience theater with us again.
Okay. Have a great night.
Okay, you too. Thank you.
Bye. Oh, yes. Well, I have to take, because I did this, like, got in a little late here, I have to do a word from our sponsor, and then we'll go to the Mall of America. But here's a word from our sponsor.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Brownies. And you can get these wonderful brownies, these all wonderfully delicious brownies at www.brownies.com. And because Valentine's Day is coming up, they're featuring their truffles, which means these little brownies that are totally dipped in this dark Belgian chocolate as well. And they do come with flavors, although I don't remember offhand, and I don't care. I just want the chocolate and the brownies. Anyway, so now what we're going to do, boy, if you're a shopaholic, this is the place for you. This is the Mall of America. Is that who do I have here to talk to me?
Hi, this is Dan Jasper, Vice President of Public Relations at Mall of America.
Okay. Well, I visited the what
yes.
a big shopping center. But it's more than just the shopping center. So I want to explain to people that, like, if you wanted to exercise, if you didn't want
place.
To even shop,
yep.
If you want to just keep busy,
absolutely.
It's fine. So tell us about this place.
Yeah, it's a huge place, as you know. By the way, you got me hungry listening to that commercial. Now I want a brownie so bad. But
go on. I'm telling you, go on when you get it afterward. Go on the website. I'm telling you, I do food.
Yeah.
And really, this is, I am so enthralled with their brownies that I said to them, do you have a commercial? And they said, well, we'll see if we can. I said, never mind. I'll write the commercial as well.
Well, it sounds delicious, and I will go on the website and try it out. But, yeah,
okay.
I'd love to tell you about Mall of America,
yeah.
And I'm so glad you had the chance to visit us. There is obviously a lot of shopping that you can do here. We have more than 520 stores. In fact, if a guest were to spend just 10 minutes in every store, it would take 86 hours to go through Mall of America.
Wow.
And that doesn't include the 50 restaurants, all of the attractions. As you know from when you visited, right at the center of Mall of America, we have a very large 7-acre indoor enclosed amusement park, which is Nickelodeon Universe. It has a log chute. It has roller coasters. It has kiddie rides. It's actually quite an amazing place to visit. We also have a large aquarium at Mall of America, Sea Life Aquarium. It's underneath the mall, believe it or not. It's 1.2 million gallon aquarium. Tons of sea life, sharks, different types of aquatic animals. It's a great place for families and for school groups to go and visit. And it's just an amazing experience if you've never done that. And, of course, we have other things at the mall. We have a mirror maze, believe it or not. We have our own theaters. We have our own 18-hole miniature golf course inside Mall of America. And we have unique new stores coming all the time. In fact, I don't know how recently you visited, but just recently we opened a Peeps store, the little marshmallow Peeps. We have an entire store.
Is it an actual store? You mean
actual
store. Are they calling it Peeps or Us?
It's called Peeps. It's huge. You know, that's a company called Just Born out of Pennsylvania, and they also do Mike and Ike's and Hot Tamales. But they did this huge store at Mall of America, and we're so thrilled to have them. And sitting right on top of their store is the world's largest Peep, so you can't miss it.
Oh, my God.
It's very fun.
That's really fun. That's very interesting that Peeps got to be, well, I guess you probably draw a lot of, I don't say kids, I mean, they're with their parents, but you draw a lot of kids. And right away, I want to ask you, because I didn't get to ask, if family is shopping, well, I mean, you know, whatever, okay, meaning that that you got somebody with their kids.
Sure.
Is it like, I don't want to say that, can they just say, okay, kids, you go over here, I'm sending you over here to play while we go shop. Does that situation come up and can that be done?
It does happen sometimes, and the answer is it's not supposed to be done, and really for a very good reason, for the safety of the kids. You know, even though this is a very safe place, it's a huge place. We have 42 million annual guests, and we want to make sure that everyone is safe. So we discourage families from splitting apart, you know, with younger kids. If the kids are 15, 16, 17, that's fine.
Right.
In fact, we have a policy at Mall of America that we've had in place for more than 16 years now called our parental escort policy. And what that states is on Friday and Saturday nights from 4 o'clock in the afternoon until closing, anyone under the age of 16 must be accompanied by a parent or a guardian 21 years or older, and they can't just be in the building. They have to be with them. And this happened because when the mall first opened 20 years ago, and we are celebrating our 20th birthday this year, when we first opened, there were a lot of families that did come and kind of use us as a babysitter. They would drop off kids and go someplace and do something, and that's just not a safe situation. So we implemented our parental escort policy. It's been very effective. So that's kind of a long answer to your question. We want families to have fun, but we want them to have fun together here at the mall.
Right. So in other words, you don't have a babysitter service.
We don't. Although I get asked that quite a bit, and sometimes I think we could make a good living doing that, but we don't offer that service.
Oh, okay. I was quite curious about that because it would be an ideal thing, I guess, for some people. Like, you know, the kids don't really want to go shopping, you
sure.
know, that kind of a thing, and they just want to play.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Like,
no, it makes total sense.
The parents are just sitting around staring at the kids and saying, all this time I could be shopping, you know.
You know what's funny, though, is that families come here knowing that they're going to be together and doing things together. Now, sometimes
right.
family will split. Mom will take a couple kids. Dad might take a couple kids or an aunt or an uncle. But they come with that in mind, knowing, hey, we're going to, you know, the
right.
girls, we're going to go see American Girl and do some things. And the boys, we're going to go to the Mirror Maze and go to Nickelodeon Universe. And we'll all meet up at the movie theaters afterwards. So people come with that mindset, and it actually works really well.
Okay. Now, I also want to get to the thing regarding the theater, because I understand there's a couple of things having to do with the movie theater.
I'll tell you about our theaters. Yeah, we have theaters at Mall of America. We have 14 screens. They actually are owned and operated by Mall of America, so we're an independent operator of movies, which gives us some flexibility in getting different movies into our theaters, which is great. But we have a couple unique things in our theaters. We actually have one of our theaters is a VIP theater. It is restricted to people 18 years or older, and so you have to be an adult. And the reason is not that we show different movies. We show still the same first-run movies. But sometimes adults want to go out and have a date night or something, and they don't want kids running around or near them. So this gives them kind of a little oasis. In this VIP theater, there is full waiter and waitress service. So you sit in your extra luxurious chairs, you lean back, you have a little table next to you. Someone comes and takes your orders for refreshments, including wine or beer. They come and serve you. And you just get to sit there and be the king or the queen and enjoy the movie, which is just a fun concept. And people really like it. We also have, in one of our other movie theaters, we have a thing called D-Box motion seats.
Yes.
And which are amazing. I don't know if you had a chance. We have a sample outside the theater that people can try out. Did you have a chance to try them?
No, I didn't get a chance to try it.
They're cool. What they are is they're motion-activated seats. But they are programmed frame by frame with whatever mainstream movie is in that theater showing. So, for instance, if you're watching an action-adventure show, and let's say there's a car race and the cars are going down this bumpy road, well, as it's going down this bumpy road, precisely timed to the movie, your seats are bumping along. If the car swerves to the left, your seat moves to the left. If the car swerves to the right, it goes to the right. So you get the sensation of actually being in the movie itself. It's quite amazing. The good thing is that on each individual seat, you can adjust the intensity. Because, believe it or not, some people get some motion sickness.
Yeah.
They have to turn it off or turn it down or put their feet on the floor or something.
That's a great idea, because I thought to myself, what if you're like, I think I'm going to throw up, or I really, I need a rest from this for 5 minutes or something like that. Well, that's interesting that you can do that.
And people do. Yeah, some people turn it down or some people turn it off. I have not watched an entire movie doing it. I've watched about 20 minutes, and that was enough for me. I loved the movie, but I turned my chair off, and I sat there the rest of the time and just enjoyed the movie. But some people love it.
That's real. Is this now? I have never heard. I mean, I've heard of this kind of, you know, like they have special, like, you know, little, not a movie. You know, you go into a thing and you know, that kind of thing. But I've never heard this done in a theater. Is this a first, or is this a common thing?
It's not real common. We are one of the first that adopted this technology. We're the only theater in Minnesota that does this. You're right. We actually, years ago, used to have a ride in our amusement park that was similar. It was a little 15-minute movie, and the gears moved with it.
Yeah, right.
But it's completely different when it's programmed via computer to a first-run movie, you know?
Yeah, that's
so you're seeing Brad Pitt up on the screen, and your chairs are moving in accordance with his actions. It's pretty amazing. No, there are some theaters across the country that use this technology, but we have it here in Minnesota.
I'm going to, after I'm done with you, I'm going to Google that, because I'm really curious as to, you know, where else they're even doing this. As I said, this is the first time that I've even heard of it. If I would have known that you could turn it off at whenever, I would have done it.
You would have tried it.
Yeah. But I also, what was interesting for me, by the way, is I have a mobility issue at the moment. It's the old hip, getting old and, you know, whatever.
Okay.
And I saw that there are options of what you can have. You can, you know, somebody can, you know, you can rent a wheelchair and somebody's pushing you, or you can get right into an electric cart and go on your own.
We have guest service desks at each of the four main entrances on our main level, and there are a lot of options for people, and that's the key, is we want to make sure that we're accessible and that this is a good experience for everyone. And, of course, guests are welcome to bring their own electric carts or wheelchairs if that's the best way for them to move around. But it is nice, isn't it, having the convenience of being able to do that?
Oh, yeah. I certainly got to see the mall, I say quicker, I guess, because I was, you know. But it's also what I did notice is, like, in terms of accessibility, it doesn't stop you from, like, going to the aquarium.
Yep, exactly. We have everything in the mall is accessible via wheelchair. So it is great, because even though the aquarium, Sea Life Aquarium, is in the basement of the mall, there are elevators that take you to the entrance. And then throughout the aquarium, there are no steps. It's just a gradual ramp at one end of it. So it is nice that everybody has the opportunity to participate.
I have to. I'm going to take notice as I travel, in terms of accessibility to things like that. The only thing I had noticed so far is, like, when I get to the airport, please put me in a wheelchair and get me there. I can't walk from here to that to the.
It is a long distance sometimes. I know that.
The problem, actually, and this is a thing that I had noticed with. Many of the airports, I guess, I don't know, say there's been a few where, you know, you get off the plane and they have those, and I call them golf carts, if you want to call them. They have those, the carts, you know. And then you just can do that. And then I guess the expectation that this would, you know, be happening. And it's like, and you would think at JFK, a big airport like JFK, that you could do that. No. For me.
Yeah, you would think it makes sense, doesn't it?
But it does. If I go on JetBlue, now JetBlue, I thought, oh, of course. JetBlue,
sure.
There's nothing. You got to walk.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
You know?
Oh, that's,
but anyway, so to get back,
you don't have to worry about that here, even though this is a very big place. I mean, we'll do our best to take care of you.
That's good. Now, as far as let me ask you about, is there like any major restaurants? And the reason I'm asking about major restaurants, I mean, like, as I see the place, it's not just like, okay, I'm going there to shop. Let's go to the movie and have dinner.
Yep.
So,
yeah, there are a lot.
Yeah,
there are a lot of great places to eat here. Obviously, we have two very large food courts, and we have a number of great restaurants. And before I tell you about that, because you kind of clicked something for me, if that's all right, is there are other things to do here in addition to shopping. I don't like to say besides shopping because I want them to shop and do something else.
Oh, of course.
But we have a really cool exhibit coming to Mall of America. It opens February 4th and runs through June 10th. And it is Diana, a celebration. It's Princess Diana. It's an award-winning exhibition who celebrates her life. There will be more than 150 objects, including her royal wedding gown, 28 other designer dresses, family heirlooms, mementos, some jewels, other things. So we're going to have this really cool exhibit at Mall of America that people can come and see, too. So that's really exciting. We're thrilled to have that.
Is there a separate charge for that?
There is a separate charge for that, and people can find that if they go on our website, mallofamerica.com, and then click under events, because that's a special event for us, and they'll see it listed there, and they can find out the times and the dates and the costs and everything. But it's going to be pretty amazing, I think, you know, to have her wedding dress here sounds pretty neat.
Sure.
But when people do come.
Where
and
is
if
this, by the way?
We have an exhibit space up on our fourth floor near some of our great restaurants, which you were highlighting. We actually, on third floor south, we have a restaurant area called South Street Dining, where we have a number of restaurants that are wonderful. One that started locally is called Crave, kind of serves contemporary American food, very delicious.
Do they have sushi?
They have sushi, and although
that's
I'm not
right.
a sushi eater,
okay,
I heard they are amazing sushi.
Okay. The reason I'm asking because that when you said that, I think that's where I ate.
Oh, okay.
I actually requested if I can go there.
Sure.
Right.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a wonderful restaurant, and we love it. We have, of course, there's a number of full-service dining options here. Twin City Grill and Tucci Banuch are both Mall of America classics that do well. We are home to the very first Rainforest Cafe. The original one is here at Mall
of
America. So, yeah, families and tourists love to eat there. It's not the highest level cuisine, but it's a fun place to go, and it's an experience. And especially the kids just absolutely love going to Rainforest, and we have the original one. Of course, we have some other great restaurants, including Bubba Gump Shrimp Company, Buffalo Wild Wings. We have a place called Cadillac Ranch All-American Bar and Grill. We have a Mexican Cantina Number 1. So we have a lot of places that people can come and dine and really enjoy it. We just had a new one open up, two new ones actually. One is a place that serves new Asian fare called Stir Crazy, delicious food. And then Dick's Last Resort opened up on fourth floor right by where the Diana exhibit will be. And Dick's Last Resort
is... they're already open?
They are open, yes.
Dick's
Last
Resort?
Just opened maybe a month ago or so, yeah.
Have you gone?
I've been in it. I haven't eaten yet. A lot of my coworkers have eaten there. They said the food is good. It's kind of a crazy place. People should look up their website, Dick's Last Resort, because kind of there it has this weird decor and stuff, and it's a fun-loving place, but kind of their thing is they kind of treat you a little bit rudely on purpose, your waiters and waitresses. You know what I mean? But it's fun, and they do it in a fun way.
Yeah. I went to one in Boston. That's why I'm laughing.
And I thought, did you like it?
Oh, it was hysterical. They come around to you and they put dunce caps on your head.
Yep,
they'll almost throw the food at you.
Exactly. So we're excited that they are open here at Mall of America now. So what's really cool is you can go from a very quiet, high-class, full-service dinner to a food court to a fun, crazy place like Dick's Last Resort. I mean, there's pretty much every dining option anyone would want they can find here at Mall of America.
I was making spitballs and
and my guess is they did not kick you out.
And well, the funny part is my doing it now. You know, I especially would do it towards the kids who I thought might be of college age, kind of.
Yeah.
And if they turned and they looked, they would not. They're not going to expect, a woman who at the time. Let me say, I guess I was in my early 50s.
Okay.
To do that.
Yeah.
They're not going to point to me because they're not going to, I'm not looking at them after I do it.
That's fun.
And they're not going to think it's me,
Absolutely.
That
is funny. That's very funny. But it's a fun experience, isn't it?
Oh, yes. You have to do it, by the way. You have to try that place. It's just a hoot.
Yeah, it sounds like so much fun.
And as far as the stores, I also went to a bakery. I stopped at a French bakery.
Yeah, exactly. We have, it's called Pardon My French. It's on first floor just outside of Nordstrom. It has some great bakery items and really nice lunches and dinners as well.
Yeah, I got a few items there. I was interested in trying the... I got to think what they call them because they,
Macaron.
Macarons, which is different from macaroons.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a dining guy, I don't know, but I love eating their desserts, I can tell you that.
Yeah. And I didn't do any shopping. because it was like... No, I don't need to add another thing to my baggage to take home. Number one. Got too many tchotchkes in the house. Don't need another tchotchke. Buying something for somebody.
Yeah.
So I'm going to look all around other than the shopping. But I know you have major stores there.
We do. And by the way, next time you visit, you let me know, and we'll just get you a nice little additional suitcase, empty, that you can take home. And we'll fill it up here. How's that sound?
Okay, that'll be fun. As a matter of fact, what I'll do, does Southwest Airlines go there?
Have some flights here. Delta's the big airline here, but Southwest does fly here.
Southwest says... you don't pay for to bring your bring luggage.
See, there you go.
it
would work. That's funny. We do have some great shopping here. Obviously, we have some wonderful anchor stores. Nordstrom, being it's the only Nordstrom in Minnesota, has just an amazing reputation as they do always. We have Macy's. We have. We have a Sears. We have a lot of great kind of junior anchor type stores like American Girl, like Apple, like the Microsoft store, like Best Buy Electronics.
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, people can find pretty much every store that they want here at Mall of America.
Oh, that's great. Oh, I know what I did come home with. I had to have a sweatshirt.
Okay. A Mall of America sweatshirt?
Mall of America sweatshirt with the hood.
All right,
because
good. I love
because
it.
Because I went... What do I need? And I thought, I'm going to be going into the winter time. I don't need another T-shirt. I have a collection of T-shirts every time I go on press trips.
Okay.
That I try to get a T-shirt, And I thought, no, I don't. T-shirt ain't going to do me any good this time. Need a sweatshirt. So I requested that, and I got that. That was.
Well, good. I'm glad you got one, and wear it with pride.
Oh, I do. When I wear it, it's great because I tell them with tourism, I always tell when I wear these things because I want to advertise. Because people will stop, they'll look at me, people may not know who I am or whatever, and they'll say, are you from so-and-so or whatever? And and when they say that, I go, what T-shirt am I wearing? And I kind of look down, I go, And sometimes I get into conversation about having gone there to promote wherever it is that I go. So it's that's why I said, all right, let's do a Mall of America one.
Oh, fantastic. So you're like a walking billboard for Mall of America.
Yes, while keeping
Thank
warm,
you.
too.
That is great. I'm so glad.
I think that originally I didn't want to go because I went, it's a shopping center.
Sure.
But the reason that I decided to go because I wanted to, what I was looking at is what's there beside the shopping center itself. Because I think I went, the biggest one I've gone to, I believe I was in, it was in Canada.
West Edmonton Mall?
Yes.
That's actually our company. Our parent company owns West Edmonton Mall.
Is it really?
Mall.
I was there because I was in Edmonton for a fringe festival.
Yeah. That's our sister mall.
Yes, and I went to that, and I said, well, this place is huge, and I somewhere I have photos of it. I remember they had what was interesting was there was like ice skating or something to that sort. Something.
Yep, they have an ice skating rink, absolutely.
Yeah, and I thought, well, okay, there's things to do here other than shop, and that's what I thought was interesting about it. And probably if I look it up to find out what I wrote about it, I'll remember. But that was the thing that because what happened when I travel, I try to go back to photos to remind me.
Okay, sure.
And it's not that I have a bad memory. It's just that I do when I do so much traveling, the brain goes, now, what was there at that place?
Yeah.
Wait, let me look at the photos. Let me look at the article that I wrote I remember what I did. You know, sometimes, many of the times, I travel by myself.
Okay.
I prefer traveling with somebody else so I can ask that person, what show did we see?
I love it.
Or, do you remember 10 years ago we went this place there? What did we do?
Oh, that is good. That is good. Well, yeah, so you've seen our sister mall, too. That's fantastic.
And I understand it, which I don't know what's happening with it. They were going to be building another one in New Jersey.
Yes, absolutely. We're in the process of acquiring the property in New Jersey. It's right by the MetLife Stadium in the
mm-hmm.
Meadowlands. It will be called American Dream at the Meadowlands.
Uh-huh.
It'll be similar to West Edmonton Mall and Mall of America, except for newer and better. And it will have everything, including the great shops, but it will also have an indoor snow ski hill, indoor amusement park, indoor water park.
An indoor snow ski hill?
Yes, complete with the ski lift and everything. So you can when that one opens, we'll invite you. You can come skiing.
Well, no, see, I don't.
You and I can sit and sip cocoa and watch people ski.
Well, you know, when I go places, actually what I do is I try to go to a place where it's a big skiing place. Like I've gone to Jackson Hole and to the Teton Mountains.
Yeah.
And what I write about is what if you don't ski, what's there to do?
Yeah.
What other activities are there to do? Or as I say, because I refuse to pay somebody to fall down their mountain.
That doesn't make sense, does it?
Right. But this
will
be interesting to watch other people kind of doing that. And what is it? What else is going to be there?
So we'll have a very large glass enclosed amusement park, similar to Mall of America in West Edmonton.
Uh-huh.
We'll have a large glass enclosed water park. It will. You know the London Eye, the big Ferris wheel? That same company's built a smaller version of that for that property for American Dream at Meadowlands. So it will take you about 35 minutes to make the full rotation. And the property overlooks Midtown Manhattan. So it has this great scenery as well.
Oh, sure. Oh, my God.
You know? Can you imagine that at night? Well, at daytime, too. But wouldn't that be just gorgeous?
Yes, the photos you could get from that there.
Yeah, and then we also have... Yeah, and then it will have a huge movie theater with great VIP theaters. It'll have a performing arts theater that'll seat about 3,000 people. You can even do indoor skydiving at this facility.
Oh, my God.
So there's a lot you can do besides shopping, but we want people to shop as well.
Wow. And when is this supposed to be completed, by the way?
By the time the Super Bowl is in the Meadowlands, which is February of 2014.
Which is not a long ways away.
It is not a long ways away. We have a lot
it's
of work to
do.
It's
almost the end of January already. I better start Christmas shopping.
I know, exactly. It comes fast, doesn't it?
Wow. Do you have, by the way, do you have some a press release or anything on this that I could?
Absolutely. Happy to send it to you. People, if you just Google American Dream Meadowlands,
yeah,
and it'll take you right to the website, and the press release and everything is right on there, so you can see everything.
That's going to be totally amazing. Getting there, getting there is a different story. They have to.
You know, we're working with local officials and everybody to make sure that transit is working well and make sure that people can get in and out easily. But yeah, people go to actually AmericanDream.com. They'll see some great images of it, and you can find out all the information there.
Wow, that's it. You know, the thing is, it's not necessarily going to take people away from shopping in New York. It's going to become like an attraction.
Absolutely.
To go to, you know, now if you position yourself correctly. While you're on the Ferris wheel, can you watch a Giants game being played?
You know, I'm guessing you're high enough. You might be able to see inside the stadium. So there, if you're not a season ticket holder, my guess is it's pretty tough though, since you're constantly moving. You might not get the right plays, but
that's true.
And you know what? And the Giants. Congratulations to everyone from New York. I mean, they are just playing amazing, amazing football. So we wish
Aren't
them
they?
Well. Yes.
Yeah, I'm happy to see that. I was with a women's tackle football team, the New York Sharks.
Okay.
Doing their PR for 8 years.
Okay.
And one of the things we got to do is we did a scrimmage during halftime at the Giants game.
Fun.
Yeah, that was would have liked seen that on the Ferris wheel.
Yeah. That would be neat. No, it is exciting. Yeah.
Well, you have a team, you know.
Yeah. No,
you
that's
women's
pretty cool.
Tackle football team. You know,
we do. I actually met them last summer. I was playing in a charity golf tournament and they were there. So
the Vixens.
Yes.
Yes. Now, well, let me tell you a quick story. I guess it was 1999 or 2000. I don't remember which one. And the New York Sharks were a flag football team at the time.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, the Vixens, who were the tackle football team at the time, turned around and challenged the New York Sharks to a game.
Okay.
And the New York Sharks says, okay, we'll take on the challenge. And, of course, they had to learn the tackling and all that other stuff. And they played, and the New York Sharks won. And
okay.
They turned around and said, well, let's form a tackle football team. And that begat the New York Sharks in the tackle.
Oh, funny. Okay.
But
yeah,
it's not that your team is bad. Your team is good. At this point, I don't think the Sharks and the Vixens are in the same league. And I think we never would ever get to play them unless, like, we're in the championship and they're in the championship or something like that. Because of the
right.
division, so that was the first and only time we played them.
Okay. Well, it's pretty cool though. It's a small world, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You know, you should have. I always my head is always into PR. You should have them come there and do an event or something.
Absolutely.
Or them or celebrity kind of thing, because I think it would be nice to show, especially kids, for them to see that women are playing tackle football.
Yep, that there are opportunities.
Hint. That's a hint.
Yep, yeah, not a real subtle hint, but
I'm sure you have some sports stores or things there, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. So
no, there's a good tie-in. Yep.
Yeah, I'll call them up and I'll tell them I talked to you.
Well, give them my name.
Oh yeah, I will. I actually will. I think it's a great. I try to, even though I've been doing the with the New York Sharks, I try to encourage, like, like at some point, like I'm open. Any team wants to call me up and say, Merle, give me some ideas. I'll say, yeah, this is what you need to do. The problem is whether they go through on it and actually do it. So
yep.
if I say to them, call you, and they don't call you, and they say, oh, well, nothing I can do about it. They didn't call you.
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah. No, that makes total sense.
No. But anyway, well, it was fabulous talking with you. I'm looking forward to this to the New Jersey thing there.
It will be exciting.
And you know that I'm going to make sure that the New York, oh, yes, so I will be talking with you about having the New York Sharks come there because the New York Sharks are also composed of women from New Jersey as well. So
okay,
it's not
perfect.
As, like, it's, even though we don't play in New Jersey, it's still, you know, we have that. And we'll talk about some kind of event that they can do. I'm sure they'll still be around in 2 years from now.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Anyway, well, it was really great. And so, you know, one of the things that's easy enough, mallofamerica.com, you know.
It's really easy. Mallofamerica.com. People should go visit.
Okay. And the other one is would you say American Dream?
AmericanDream.com. Yep.
Okay. I will go and look at that. I think that sounds like such a hoot.
Yeah, it is. It's very cool.
I'll see if they can. Although I don't think I'll be putting on a cart, an electric cart, onto the Ferris wheel itself.
Please don't.
No.
Oh, funny.
All right, have a great evening.
Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow, that's really great. Well, I encourage people, as I said, with the Mall of America, you know, if you're not into shopping, it's still fun. It's still worth going to. Now, I'm going to end my show early. I did have something I wanted to speak about. It's kind of negative, but I think I'm going to have to wait until some things like clear up before I, you know, publicly kind of say stuff. So, in the meantime, everybody, don't know what I'm doing next. As I said, I saw Porgy and Bess, I have mixed feelings. This is not, you know, coming from me. Not like to critique it because of saying all the sets and this kind of thing, but coming from me, on the whole, it's a good show, and I definitely recommend seeing it. And of course, Audra was just wonderful in it. I kind of understand that at one point it was done as an opera, and I could really kind of get that. There was very little dialogue. It's not that, you know, but some Broadway shows tend to be doing that you'll have little dialogue and it's all music. It's very Gershwin. I mean, the music sounds Gershwin. The production numbers are there but small compared. I mean, it's not a big house production kind of thing, but there are production numbers. All the, you know, the singing is great. The Audra, I didn't. It's not that I didn't care for her acting. It was. Not to say that she's not an actress, but I mean, she looks, in terms of her acting, like she would be doing opera kind of thing. I don't know. But I don't see it because of that. I would definitely recommend it. I don't really love drama. That's it. That's what it is. I don't really love drama. See, I like Broadway musical comedies. I like to and that types of, in terms of being entertained. It is entertaining, and it's a drama. That's the whole thing. And the music is great. It's Gershwin. It's great. This was a show I had never, seen anything or knew the story in front of me. Sitting here, I have a copy of the script, thank goodness, because when I review it, I'm probably going to be, looking at stuff like that in terms of to discuss the plot. So that's the story with that. I would say go see it. And if you're like if you want big production kind of things, I think right now still my favorite Sister Act seems to still be my favorite right now in terms of musical comedy production, enjoyment. You don't have to think. You don't have to really, the thing with Porgy and Bess, you have to concentrate on what's happening, meaning getting into the plot, which is fine. That's for those people who like going to a play, like going to a drama. It's like one, beyond a drama, you have the music and the singing and stuff like that. So in that terms, I would recommend that. There's some other shows coming up that I'll be talking about. So in the meantime, everybody, have a great day, a great evening, great morning, or whatever it is that you're having. And, let's take it easy. And let's go find there it is. Bye, everybody.